I want to encourage you this morning to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalm, to the Psalms. Would you turn with me to one verse, but we'll be looking at several, in beginning in Psalm 55. While you're finding that in the Old Testament, I'm reminded that we're living in such modern technology, as just illustrated by your microphone. But now all of the things that we're bringing into our homes, such as Alexa and smartphones and smart TVs and smart computers. And my wife and I have a smart telephone that's smarter than we are. And all of those things now, like Alexa's over there, they're thinking they might spy on us, that they're recording what we say and do throughout the day. And I heard an old fellow say recently, he said, you know, don't be concerned about the smartphone and Alexa and the TV picking up things about you. He said, what you really need to be concerned about in your home is the vacuum cleaner, because it's been picking up dirt on you for a long time. Okay. So think on that one a little bit. But thank you for allowing us to stand in your pulpit once again and open the Bible once again. Yes, it's good to be, my wife and I, having retired from the active pastorate, I think since we were with you last, and we're now in what's called full-time evangelism, and being in various churches where we're privileged to be, it's always good to be in one like yours that still knows where the Bible is, still believes the King James Version is the Word of God without fear or favor or compromise. And thank you for that, Stan, that you and both Pastors Madonna have taken all these years, and now Pastor Lance following that. Psalm 55, if you'd be so kind. And I want you to look at one verse with me, but we'll be looking to some related ones in what I hope might be a practical message of encouragement to you as a Christian today. And I want you to notice verse 22, and you may be a person, maybe as a young Christian, that maybe were taught not to mark up your Bible or do so disrespectfully, but if you feel the liberty of underlining verses in your Bible, and this is a verse that you have not already underlined, I'd encourage you to underline Psalm 55 and verse 22. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Isn't that a great promise? Yeah. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. May I pray with you, please? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the Lord's Day. Thank you for the glorious death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior that makes the Lord's Day possible. And Lord, we meet here in a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church to worship you in spirit and in truth. Truly thankful for guests and visitors that are here in the class and returning faithful folks, Lord, faithful faces that we have seen here over the years. And Lord God, I pray that we might come aside just for a few moments and allow us to concentrate our attention on the Word of God. Lord, you know my heart's desire. I hope you might allow me to be a blessing and encouragement to the saints this morning. And Lord God, we'll praise you and we'll give you thanks now. In Jesus' name, amen. This psalm, and especially this 22nd verse of this psalm, has a special meaning, I think, to any of us that are saved, that have been saved. And no matter how long a period of time that we've been saved, we need to realize that we have a burden bearer. Sometimes I've been guilty of carrying burdens when really I shouldn't have. I should have been casting my burdens instead of carrying my burdens, and realize you as a Christian, perhaps more spiritual than myself, you would never do that. But here the psalmist says we need to cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Now, I want you to keep your place here, and we'll be looking to some related verses, but keep your place here, and I want you to turn a little bit further back in the Old Testament to the book of Job. To the book of Job, if you would. Job is, of course, the first of what we call collectively the poetical books, because they're written in the form of Hebrew poetry. And Job is, of course, one as an individual that we might be able to relate to. But here are two verses that I'd like to draw your attention to for thinking about these things this morning. First one is in Job chapter 5 and verse 7. Job chapter 5 and verse 7. Job said, yet a man, and that's not gender perfect, that's human mankind, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. The matter realizing that as humans, we are going to be tried, we are going to be burdened, we're going to have things come upon and into our lives that we need to have some extra strength in bearing up under. Some have some even perhaps today are carrying heavy burdens. Maybe the loss of a loved one, maybe a financial reversal, maybe some recent diagnosis in regard to one's health. But those things that come upon us, that burden us, Job said that's natural. As sparks fly upward, man is given over to trouble. But what kind of burdens do people carry? I'm going to enumerate some that are listed by various Bible characters in the Bible. And what kind of burdens do people carry? And I think we would be able to relate to some of these ourselves. Burdens to do with our homes. I believe today that the Christian home is under attack. I believe today that our husbands and our wives and our children within our homes are trying to live a Christian life. And the devil's doing everything he can to hinder that, to stop that, to prevent the further growth of it. The matter realizing that can be a burden for a young lady that marries a man, perhaps later to find out that he's a scoundrel, or a man that marries a beautiful young lady only to come to find out that she's not in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can be a burden. And it seems as though we're living in a day and time today. And I read some facts recently that over 50% of the divorces in America are out of Christian homes. And that's sad, isn't it? That we in our homes established upon the Lord Jesus Christ ought to have greater strength than that. And yet I have some dear friends that their homes have broken up because of burdens and indifferences. There are burdens of business responsibilities, the matter of getting our investments right, and the matter of investments in businesses of style. I was just sharing with Pastor Madonna last night that my wife and I had had a life insurance policy on myself for 28 years, and our premium has really been wonderful. $129 for 28 years we've been paying on that life insurance. But now, I don't know whether the chief executive of the insurance company just now woke up or what happened, but we now got notification from that insurance company that for me to keep that insurance policy in play, my premium is going to go up to $500 and some a month. That's a jump, isn't it? And so my wife and I are right now trying to look to see what we can cut out. I'm trying to talk her into not eating anything so we can afford to keep the life insurance. But really, it's quite a jump. And so maybe you've had to make similar adjustments in regard to business responsibilities. Burdens also perhaps connected even with the Lord's work. I want you to look with me, if you would, to the New Testament and to 2 Corinthians, if you'd be so kind. Burdens in the Lord's work. It's a wonderful thing to be serving the Lord. My wife and I have been privileged to be married 56 years and be in full-time Christian service for all of that time. But even the Lord's work sometimes can have the burdens and demands upon it in the ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul makes reference to burdens in the ministry. And he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, and beside these things, those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Here was a missionary pastor, Paul, writing under Holy Spirit inspiration that the burdens of the ministry, the burdens of the pastorate, Dr. Cummins, my hero pastor at Massillon Baptist Temple all those years, used to say, he said, you never get tired you may get tired in the work, but never get tired of the Lord's work. The reality of understanding a connection with the Lord's work. If you notice also in these verses in chapter, coming back to Psalm verse 12 and 14, back to the text where we started in Psalm 55, the burdens of friends. And notice, if you would, coming back to Psalm 55 and verse 12, he said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then could I have borne it, neither was it him that heeded me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance." Have you ever had a friend turn against you? It's hard, especially if they're a Christian friend. Maybe one that you've known and loved and grew up, maybe even same church for a good number of years, and for whatever reason, they find some resentment or something against you, and they cast that burden away from you, and they walk away from your friendship. I'm talking about what burdens there might be that we're called upon to bear up under. The burden of the loss and bereavement of a loved one. The Lord gives us a promise there in John chapter 11. And all these things that are human burdens. But let me give you a negative and a positive as to how to deal with life's burdens. Number one, as we come back to Psalm 55, in this psalm we're told several things that we are not to do in relation to our burdens. That we are not to do in relation to our burdens. Staying with Psalm 55, look at verse 1. He said, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplications." Let me give you this on the negative side, in the midst of whatever burdens you may be called upon to be going through. Never doubt God. Amen. Never doubt God. Even when we can't trace God, we can trust him. Even when we might not be able to see fully what God's hand is doing, don't doubt God. God doeth all things well, the Bible says, and with him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. One of the things the devil wants you and I to do when we go through those hard times, those burdensome times, he wants to fault God. He wants you and I to blame God. Don't doubt God. God does all things well. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. So the first thing in the negative is, in regard to our burdens, let's not doubt God. Number two, those of you who would, in verse two, there is the temptation to complain. In verse two, he said, "Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." We as humans, even as Christians, in times of testing, might tend to complain. Stores used to have, and I don't think they have anything in the stores anymore, but they used to have, the major department stores used to have what they called the complaint department. And people would go out there and register what faults there were with the product or what the prices were. I don't see those at Kmart anymore. I don't see them in Penny's anymore. I think they probably eliminated the complaint department. By the way, if the stores have eliminated it, we need to eliminate it in our churches too, that we don't have a complaint department here. It gives the matter of too much tendency to the flesh. So on the negative side, we don't want to doubt God. On the negative side, we don't want to yield to the temptation to complain. And then notice in verse 4 and 5, we neither do want to involve ourselves in the danger of despair. Verse 4 and 5, he said, "My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." But relief from those burdens comes from the strength of God. We don't want to give over to despair. I know that so many times, as humans, the reality of burdens and of negative things happening in our life, we're prone to complain. My wife and I served the Lord for over 20 years in Massillon Baptist College and Massillon Baptist Temple. And one of our dearest friends there just passed away, had been friends with us for over 50 years. And the family had called upon me to come back to Massillon for her funeral. And they called us on Sunday night to say that she had been taken into the hospital and seemed to be slipping. She was 92 years of age and very gracious lady. Matter of fact, when I preached her funeral message yesterday, I preached on the virtuous woman. And Mrs. Dalvin was her name, and she certainly was a virtuous lady in so many ways. And I met her doctor. We came down to the hospital to be with the family on Monday, and was there when she passed. And her doctor came in before she passed to kind of check her over and so forth. And I got up and I introduced myself to him, the doctor, and he said, "You know about this lady," he said, "I'd never heard her complain." And I thought, you know, if we're going to register a complaint anyway, to any person, we're probably going to do it to our doctor, right? I ache here, I ache there, I ache all over. But he said, "Oh, that dear lady, as her doctor, I never heard her complain." And I thought, Lord, help me to live such a life that they might be able to say that about me. And so we don't want to be given over to despair. And then notice in verses 6 and 7, the desire to escape these burdens. In verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 55, "And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness." Selah. The man realizing that the psalmist here is saying that in the midst of our burdens, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our heartaches, we may have a desire to escape. We just want to get away from it all. And let me say this to you, and I know if you're saved, certainly you and I recognize that the Lord's coming is soon. He's soon to return. I've been filling the pulpit for a church in North Madison, Ohio. Their pastor resigned about almost 4 years ago, and they're still without a pastor, and they're desperate enough that they'll let me in their pulpit every other month for a series of Sundays. The matter of the reality is that no matter how old we get, no matter what the burdens are, that the desire to just escape, just get away. And I just preached a series in the month of July on the events of the second coming of Christ, and gave them some encouragement. The rapture is soon to take place. There's not a single sign, not a single indicator that needs to be fulfilled before we could be caught up in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, Paul said, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." I'll tell you what, worse the days get here, the sweeter heaven seems to be. Again, Dr. Cummins, my hero, used to say, the darker the day, the closer the dawn. And we're getting close to the dawn of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you the positive side of this, and then I'll cease boring you. So talking about burdens, burdens are a normal part of living. How we respond to them perhaps is a key indication of our walk with the Lord. But we've indicated what we're not to do with our burdens, but what are we to do with life's burdens? Come again, if you would, in that verse 22 that I asked you to underline a while ago. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What are we to do with our burdens? Number one, what are we to do with our burdens? We accept the burden from the Lord. God doesn't owe me an explanation for what he's doing in my life. That's right. The matter of realizing that I need to trust him, whatever the circumstances may be. The word burden, as a matter of fact, is interesting here. If you did a word study on that Hebrew word that the psalmist uses here, the word burden here means that which is given to you, almost with the meaning as a gift, that burden is given to you. And the source of the burden is the Lord. I'm here to tell you today that the Lord is not going to put more on you and I than what he'll give you and I grace to bear up under. Oh, there may be trying moments. There may be losses. There may be bereavements. There may be illness. There may be threatening disease. There may be various and sundry of those burdens that come upon us. But please understand that God is still in control. God hasn't yielded his authority to any of the other outside means. And to understand this is to take the first step in the transformation of trouble. That trial, that disappointment, that burden, that loss is God's doing. God is a God of love. And he has allowed that burden to come into our life? Can I explain it away? No, I can't. But can I accept it? Yes, I can. Should you and I accept it as knowing that we serve a God that is all wise and that certainly hasn't forgotten that we are his children? In Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And don't misquote Romans 8:28. It doesn't say all things are good. It said all things work together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose. The matter of realizing that we need, whatever the burden may be, to say, Lord, help me to accept this as a love gift from you. Let me know, Lord, how you want me to grow, how you want me to respond, how you want me to indeed take on this. See, one reason that God gives us burdens to bear is that he can bring us closer to himself. One of the reasons that God brings a weight on us is for us to realize we cannot in and of ourselves carry that weight. When something becomes so heavy, so burdensome, literally, that we say, I can't go on, Lord, that's what he wants us to do, is to look to him, for him to be our burden bearer. Hast thou considered my servant Job, the devil said. And God gave Job grace through all of that testing, through all of that trial, through all of the bereavement, the loss of his family, and the loss of his riches. And the devil said, surely Job's serving God for naught. But God said, oh no, he's my choice vessel. He's my choice ingredient. And consequently then, Job becomes the exemplification of patience. Have you not heard of the patience of Job? James makes reference in the New Testament too. So the first thing, and please understand that we serve a God that loves. God is not doing anything in our lives to hurt us. He's doing things in our lives to help us, to draw us closer to himself. When it becomes unbearable, when the weight becomes too heavy, then the Lord wants us to look to him to sustain us and strengthen us. The second thing, from the positive biblical point of view, to deal with burdens is we need to cast the burden upon the Lord. 1 Peter 1:5 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, for he careth for thee. The word casting there, here in Psalm 55, as well as in that New Testament reference to 1 Peter 5:7, the word cast means to fling or to hurl, to take the burden from us and to fling it upon him. You see, if you and I do the casting of our burden, Christ would do the caring. If you and I do the casting, the flinging of that burden off of us, Jesus Christ has promised to do the caring. There are various illustrations of Bible individuals that denotes the matter of the effect of flinging their burden. Remember Daniel, the Old Testament, cast into prison in Daniel chapter 6, and yet the matter realizing the miraculous intervention that God made on behalf of Daniel. I think so often of Jonah. God took Jonah through Whale University, and he came out with a master's degree in missions. Jonah was tempted with the matter of that whale gobbling him up, and what God was teaching him then was to trust him. Even the Apostle John, as you read in the book of Revelation, was on the Isle of Patmos, and the matter realizing that he was overburdened with those things, and yet that admonition was to do the casting, and Christ would do the caring. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to realize that not only do we have a Lord that saves us, but we have a Lord that succors us, that sustains us, that strengthens us, that is not only there to deliver us from hell to heaven through the merit of Christ's shed blood, but to give us strength to go through whatever may be required of us to get through in a day. And so the matter of casting the burden upon the Lord, it's our weakness. And through our weakness that we may prove his strength. And through our insufficiency, we can prove his all sufficiency. He wants us to learn the twofold reason that we cannot, but he can. Paul's heavy burden, as I made reference to there in 2 Corinthians, the burden of all of the churches that he had. So number one, when it comes to burdens, that come upon you and I as Christians. We need to accept the burden as coming from the Lord. We need to, number two, cast the burden upon the Lord, for he loves us and sustains us. And then the third thing is we need to leave the burden with the Lord. We need to leave the burden with the Lord. Once we have cast our burden upon him, he assumes full responsibility for it as well as for us. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I certainly in no way want to minimize anything that you may be going through or may be called upon to go through in the near future. I in no way want to minimize what all you and I may be called upon to have to go through, but I do want to maximize that whatever you and I are called upon to go through, to know that Jesus is there with us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. The old song says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Or be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I will strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upon my righteous omnipotent hand." Cast all your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Just in a practical sense, realize that we serve a great God as our Savior, as our Sustainer, as our Strengthener. Heavenly Father, thank you for the hopefully practical study today that might encourage the saint of God here today. Lord, we don't know coming in to this Lord's Day of what people are having to deal with and the difficulties that they may have encountered even on the way to church this morning. Maybe a telephone call, Lord, that really brought them sad news this morning. I pray, God, that you'd strengthen them, that you'd undergird them, strengthen them, meet their needs. Lord, help us to realize that we cannot, but God always can. And so, Father, just encourage us in the things of Christ today. May your word be honored in our lives. Bless in the service that follows. We pray for your blessing and enablement there. And Lord God, I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.